So, as I was saying earlier, the citta being one of the crucial terms in Buddhism, in Dhamma, teaching and practice, and actually it's a crucial experience in our life. You know, this is where the sense of me is, the I am, is citta. You could say it is the center of our life, and sometimes a rather troubled center. That which both receives impressions and responds to them, sometimes reacts to them, sometimes receives distorted impressions, didn't quite get it right, and reacts to those. Sometimes gets knocked off balance and gets very reactive. Sometimes gets obsessive, engrossed and obsessive. And yet this is the area, we can call it an area, that we're encouraged to steady, straighten, cultivate, support, nourish, so that it becomes something that's resplendent and happy and balanced and released from these afflictive impressions, afflictive habits. So this is perhaps rather abstract, but practicalities of it come down to things like emotions, impulses, and even attitudes. These are all citta experiences. So emotions, we all know what they are, positive and negative, that kind of fairly quick movement, which has got a lot of feeling in it, feeling of agreeable or disagreeable, and it definitely pushes, it pushes expression, emotion, and it affects our bodies. When a strong emotion runs through you, it rattles your body, or it gladdens you bodily. So this is the area of citta. And so the average person will really want to find a way to use their cultivation to, manage, handle, understand this, because it has powerful repercussions internally to oneself and also powerful repercussions externally to others. Citta, but then citta is a little bit more than that. And that's what makes it actually gives us a way of handling our emotions. When we understand citta, it also experiences a certain shape. So the compressed citta feels compressed, or crushed, or buoyant. So it's like almost it has a state to it. It's called citta. They're called mind states, but actually they're really heart states. The buoyant citta, the contracted citta, the scattered citta, the depressed citta, the reckless. So it's got a certain state to it. And so these are all understood to be qualities or states come and go. They're not like permanent. It's not a permanent statement about the citta. These are just phases or states that come and go that we can get very engrossed in and identify with. My moodiness, my recklessness, my impulsiveness. I'm a kind of a irritable person, or I'm very sentimental, I'm so soft-hearted. So because of these states, have a certain familiarity to them. That is, the citta picks up habits and it tends to get habitualized in terms of, particular set of states that it moves into. So that's what makes it seem like me, because here is it again. It must be me, because it's the same thing that's been happening for the last 10 years. And it's got my That must be me, familiar. So one of the themes of mindfulness, of citta, is whether it's me or not me, familiar or whatever it is, difficult, crazy, wonderful. It's okay, let's just get some space around that. Now this is an important thing to remember with mindfulness. It's not a nail. You kind of rivet things. It's like a certain loop. So it's a frame of reference. But when there's this loop, it's not stranglehold, there's some space in it. The emotions naturally are very mobile. They're mobile creatures. So there's this one. So you kind of create a kind of a focus which has a lot of allowance in it. Doesn't reject, doesn't adopt, doesn't identify, doesn't dismiss. Doesn't say, it's just an emotion. No, it doesn't do that. This is a phenomenon. It's got a lot of potency in it, a lot of meaning in it, perhaps a lot of history in it, and can have a lot of karma because we act upon those. This is a very important area. Because fundamentally, we're not rational creatures, we're emotional creatures, with some rationality justifying the emotion. It's your fault. That kind of thing, It's animated. So it's the focus around it, and it's pretty spacious. And with mindfulness, you both say, notice a thing very simply, and there's no aversion to it. It's okay. This, in a way, we have to approach as if we really want to hear it and feel it. How is this? So that leaning in of the heart and that framing, spacious framing, is an attribute of mindfulness. Mindfulness is not just a kind of a measure, right? Like a kind of slide rule or a thermometer. This is this. So it's got a certain, because it's based on right view and right virtue, so it's got a certain ethical concern and, right mindfulness anyway, or full mindfulness. So a lot of meditation practice or cultivation is about creating that frame of reference around our emotional nature, which includes both emotions that are expressed and emotions that aren't expressed. Which can be something like a certain attitude, really explored, an attitude I have towards eggs, or ants or something, so I see them as a pest or a nuisance. And there's an emotion in there that is not expressed. The emotion is aversion, isn't it? So quite a bit of this emotional nature can be kind of subliminal, and so it comes in certain attitudes, prejudices, biases, so all of this, because all of it has an effect. It's effective, it certainly generates how we act and respond, and it has an effect, immediate effect. You can sense the heart is either kind of heavy or rigid or lacking sympathy. So we can kind of notice this. Citta is naturally, when it's clear, it's naturally sympathetic because it is a heart. So if we, we have no sympathy, no sense of empathy with other people or other creatures or ourselves, this means there's a defective emotion there, negativity or fear or dismissiveness, cruelty. And in this presentation. Cruelty is the sense of withdrawal of sympathy, withdrawal of fellow feeling, which can be just dismissive. It just doesn't matter what you think. You'd get over it. That's a kind of mild level of cruelty. We dismiss. We're not interested, don't care. Too busy now. And of course you get gross levels of it when people are able to kill each other without really recognizing, you know. So soldiers obviously have to have that sense of turn off the empathy. Yeah. And domestic violence, for example, also switch off this empathy. When the empathy is switched off, another human being just becomes it. And then there's no evil that people will not do when we see others as it rather than as we. So this is indeed a very serious issue. But it's not even really necessarily recognized, because it's an attitude rather than a flaring emotion. It's an attitude of non-empathy. Mechanical. So when we, you know, begin to do this contemplation, you know, the first question is, am I sympathetic? Is there that attitude present? If it's not present, then what's stopping it? What's preventing that from being there? And then, so the inquiry, recognize, so lack of empathy to oneself or to others, what's that? What does it feel like? What's happening? And then you investigate it, so you use the mindfulness just to hold that experience in awareness, listening to it. And then, he's just an idiot. It doesn't count. People like that, they just get in the way. You know, those things come up. Now it started to speak. If you hold it with that mindfulness and this quality called exploration, then it starts to speak. And it says these, you know, wow, this is pretty awful. That's just some dumb idiot, you know. You get the stereotypes, women, men, nationalities, races, and just, you know, and then this ill will. So then we, you know, this enables people to be cruel without really even acknowledging it. And when we consider that, then this is something serious. Oh dear, you know, let me not be that way. Let me explore my attitudes and see what underlying emotional qualities are there that have been closed down. And why they get closed down. You know, you can't really go out and kill somebody if you're sympathetic, can you? So if that's something you have to do, you have to switch it off. But then it's considered actually healthier to be fully aware of a negative emotion than to not be aware of any emotion. Because if you feel that you have no emotion, it probably means there's a huge amount of denial and, you know, closing off going on. So it's better to have negative emotions, at least you're clear about. Okay, this is the ill will, this is the fear, this is the contempt, this is the jealousy. Okay. So So we actually want to reveal this emotional quality. And this also can turn towards the self, you know, despising ourselves, or you know, continually putting ourselves down or feeling inadequate. Certain attitudes we have. I'm the one who's always at fault. It's my fault. Always my fault? Where did that one come from? You know, so we certainly pick up these attitudes. They become indoctrinated by the way other people treat us, or by social trends, you know. So the aim is to, and they still have effects, whether we notice them or not, they still have powerful effects. So better to notice it. So you have this quality called Dhamma Vijaya, exploring the textures, the shapes, the tonalities of the citta. If it's gone flat, something's off. If it's gone compressed, something's off. If it continually flitters and flutters, something's off. Yeah. So then we say, this is the citta affected by something. And the power of mindfulness, and in fact the nature of citta, is that if one really frames it in this kind of non-judgmental, non-reactive way, says, how's this feel? So feeling means agreeable or disagreeable. And I say, so perhaps a person will say, oh, it's okay. No, if you say it's okay, it probably means it's disagreeable, but you can bear it. So you ask, okay, would you prefer this to stay, or would you prefer it to go away? Would you be, if this passed, this state passed, would you feel better? Or would you like this state to stay there long term? If you don't want it to stay there long term, it means it's disagreeable. But you haven't actually really recognized that. So I say, go to the feeling of it. How does this feel? If it's disagreeable, then one thing will happen. It'll either be just dismissed as, oh, well, it doesn't really matter, or it will be suppressed. Or it will be acted upon with fear or anger. So naturally, we want these things to come alive so we can meet them. If they're suppressed, you can't deal with them, but they still have effects. Entering. How does this feel? What's it doing? Some of them, and then you just kind of create some space around it and listen into it, explore it. And you explore it not so much intellectually as heartfully. Because this is the territory of the heart, and mindfulness of citta is mindfulness of citta with regards to citta. In other words, try to approach citta in the citta's own terms, speak its language, and citta is not a thinker. It's a feeler, it's an emotional sense. So when we explore it, we're not saying, give me a word, we're saying, tell me how it feels. Is it vibrant? Is it shaky? Is it hard? Is it soft? What's it doing? And then we kind of create some space around it. And often that's it. Because once one has created this open, sympathetic space, the emotion is allowed to move. And things that move, when they move, they rise and they pass. They begin to clear themselves. And most of the problem with emotion is we don't want it to arise. Or when it arises, you want it to pass quickly. You don't want to feel the fullness of it. So that's the need. This is, requirement of mindfulness to sustain the sympathetic focus, to allow things to arise, express themselves, be felt and pass. And often in that we learn something. We learn about what really concerns me, what bothers me. We learn about what's happening under the lid, you could say. And we begin to come out of these habits. Because if an emotion is not properly attended to and allowed to fulfill itself or to move on, it just stays in this kind of frozen state. It becomes habitual. So then it does create mental karma. In other words, it does begin to establish a particular pattern and that gets recycled. So as long as I haven't listened to my anger, the likelihood is that I'll have a certain residual irritability and grumpiness. That'll be my characteristic. Because until it's expressed, it remains in this latent, potent state. And certainly, in my own practice, before I began meditating, I didn't realize how depressed and angry I was. I seemed to be just a fairly normal, kind of average guy, you know, doing the things that young men do, feel pretty good, fine, okay, have some of this, go there, go here, go there. Yeah, it's okay. And then start to meditate. And I'm depressed. And then angry, for no particular reason, just kind of, certain heatedness, intensity. And this was, if you like, the storage of unattended sadness and frustration begin to express itself. And then, of course, you get the idea, I shouldn't be angry, I should cheer up, I should be happy. You know, it's serenity, everybody's fine, nobody's bothering you, come on, get over it. Get over it, come on, cheer up, get on. And these kind of things. You don't get over things. This is a fallacy. You either clear them or you store them. If you don't clear them, you store them. There's no such place as away. You can't throw these away. You don't get over them. You clear them, you let them process through you, or you kick the can down the road and store them. Now, emotion is a very powerful experience, can be very powerful. It can completely flood us. So when we do this cultivation, certain primary requirements, one is mindful of the body. The body acts as a kind of container. I mean, it doesn't just spill out through speech, it also means there's a certain sense of the keel on your boat, there's presence. So we can feel that, fear or grief, and it's just okay. Feel your feet, your shoulders, feel the frame of the body, and that helps to create a certain sense of a container that doesn't squash. Because, of course, the problem with emotion is it often goes to a certain area. It comes up into our head or our face if it's angry. Because anger wants to express itself and be shown. If it's fear, it tends to go down and contract. So often we can find ourselves locked in a particular place in our body, kind of feeling this kind of tense, nervous state in the body. And what's needed, mindfulness body, is to go to the whole body. So from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet, with the shoulders, and just open the whole body up. So this uncomfortable emotion's got some room to move. It affects the inner body, and the inner body has to be opened in order for that emotion to find some space to move. Otherwise it just gets kind of bottled up and heated up. So that's your first practice, first foundation is body. Second is how you focus. And we'll probably come back to this time and time again, because once you use the word focus, then most people will probably by instinct assume a kind of visual focus. And often the visual focus is really like 2%. That's a good focus. Not the whole thing, but the toe. You know, the visual focus, generally quite narrow. If you open your eyes completely wide and get the whole visual field, you don't feel it focused. You want to focus on a point. So most people assume by instinct, because their primary focusing organ that we use is the eye, that focus automatically means sharp point. And this doesn't work with emotions. It's okay for sharpening pencils and for looking at details, excellent. But for an emotional sense, you need a wide focus. So if I want to focus on what a warthog is doing, I keep kind of broad perspective on the movements of the creature. It's running around, certainly focused, certainly interested in the warthog, but I'm not focusing on his ears. I'm focusing on the whole thing. And so similarly, the emotional thing, you've got to keep a wide focus in order to get the movement. Because now you're not necessarily wanting to just name the thing and go into details. You want to have a focus that enables the movement and the space, because in the spaciousness, that's where the sympathy lives, which is an essential quality in order to handle matters of the heart, right? So that sympathy, that empathy, that kindness or acceptance lives, if you can call it that, in the space. It's in my relationship to the object. Now, if you take the word focus too literally, you focus purely on the thing and not the space around it. There's no space. And for emotion, the essential thing is the space. You don't even really need to see all the details. You want to get the sense. This is the general feeling: is moving fast, or sinking, or hard. You don't need even the labels of grief or fear. In fact, they get in the way. This is sinking. This is tight. This is contracted. And so you sort of step back in order to get the big picture of what it's doing. Emotions carry a lot of energy, so if you press your attention into it, the emotion gets inflamed. Because the attention has an energy. So you don't probe into it, you create space around it. If you probe into it, what will probably happen is a whole lot of thoughts come up. I'm this, I'm that, they shouldn't do this, I want to be that, why can't I ever be this? And the whole thing starts getting very shaky and reverberating and regenerating itself. So you're putting too much pressure on it. So we get a sense of certain step back spaciousness, both in terms of focus and in terms of attitude. So often we say, how do I deal with my emotions? How do I deal with my emotions? Listen to that. How do I deal with my happiness? Right. How do I deal with my joy? Deal is a closet word meaning get rid of. But like many of these attitudes, they're closet words. You don't say, how can I deal with my comfort? Because I don't want to get rid of it. How do I deal with my discomfort? It means how do I get rid of the thing? As soon as you start to kind of approach it like that, how do I deal with my emotions? It's already how do I get rid of this messy stuff? Well, that's not very sympathetic, is it? Maybe they've got something important to tell you about yourself, about what you really are, about how you operate. That you are affected, you are sensitive, you do get hurt, and you do get upset, and you know many other things. Maybe we need to know that. We might work more carefully, and perhaps other people are exactly the same position. So rather than dealing with how do I sustain mindfulness of citta and the space for things to move and change and be felt, and using the framework of the body, we can feel these things running through our body, moving around, okay, generate the space to allow them to move. And these are, what are these? Why do they happen? What's happening? Why do we have emotions at all? They're energies, they're energetic, we all recognize that, they're energies that are innate to citta. Citta has heart energy in it. It has another feature, which is it's reflective, but it also has heart energy in it. Heart energy must move, Now, if it gets cramped or twisted, then it starts to get contorted and we get negative emotions. But citta, like the body, has a fundamental inclination to arrive at balance. It's not personal. Just like everybody's body, when it stands up, wants the balance. You don't have to ask it to. It will do it. It wants to do it. If it feels imbalanced, it will find a way to get back to balance. When we're overactive, we want to get back to steady state. So everything's always aiming for this homeostasis. We feel comfortable and steady. Body does that. It will want to rest. It will want to move when it's stiff. It wants to arrive at a nice, balanced, comfortable state. Citta is the same. Its inclination is towards non-suffering, non-stress, non-affliction. So then, these energies, then, if they're held carefully, they begin to move out and they start to straighten themselves out. The energies become, from being contorted and compressed, they start to steady. And that's a way that negative emotions transmute into positive emotions without us interfering with them. So when we experience frustration and anger, and that's held carefully, it turns towards strength. Experience fear, anxiety, when that's held carefully, it moves to a sense of wonder. We don't know. We feel grief, sadness, depression. Held carefully, it turns towards compassion. There's a transmutation that they do because they are their energies. So when you cultivate and contemplate, you have a lot of thinking going on. What does thinking feel like? Trying to make something happen? What's the emotion underneath it? Sometimes it's not much, it's just, bit of frustration or impulsiveness, something. So So really mindfulness, when we look at these four establishments, it doesn't really do thought. It does body, feeling, citta, and dhammas, which are the phenomena that arise from the citta. So the way we relate to thought is just stuff, thoughts. That's what minds do, but what's the emotion carrying that thought? And then we can get to the underlying basis of the thought. If this is held carefully, that emotional basis can be released and the thought formation becomes unnecessary. So there's a lot to be benefit in getting the skills and the approach to manage mindfulness of citta.